Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 29th of November, 2009. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. Well, on this special first Advent Sunday of 2009, we had a very special service. We had a baptism service where Derek and Neil were baptised. So you'll hopefully hear the baptisms on the service today. You'll hear some splashing anyway, but we'll go and join Andy as he's introducing the service.
Good. Well, a very good morning to you. A very special welcome to our service this morning of baptism. It's a sort of an all-age service, but it's with a slight change in that the children and young people are beginning out there this morning. They're getting ready for their Christmas production here in a few weeks' time, so they're going to join us just a little bit later. But yes, it's great to welcome you to a baptism service. And a little later we'll be hearing from and baptising Neil and Derek over there. We've been working with them over the last few weeks, just preparing them for this day. So it's good to be here. You all right, guys? Good. I didn't hear anything from Derek, so... just before we come to... second part of the service, if you like, the actual baptisms. I just want to bring you some thoughts from God's Word. I'm going to be speaking from Acts chapter 2, if you'd like to turn to it in your Bibles, Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to be darting around a little bit in Acts chapter 2. I'm not reading the whole thing, but just trying to get an essence of what it's saying and might be saying to us this morning. Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to be beginning at verse 22. 22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Verse 31. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ. That's David. David was speaking about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. But God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. We thank the Lord for his word, don't we? And Derek and Neil have accepted the message. They've accepted the message of our Lord Jesus Christ, and today they come to be baptized. So wonderful. In our reading, those who heard the wonderful message of salvation asked Peter, "What must we do to be saved?" And in reply, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." There are five clear steps to becoming a Christian, a follower of Jesus. First of all, it's about repentance. Peter said, repent. Repentance, when we come to a point where we understand that we have not lived our lives as God would have us live them. And when we turn our lives back to God. That's what repentance means, isn't it? Returning our lives back to God. A second step in becoming a Christian, a follower of Jesus, is putting our faith in Jesus. We turn our lives back to God and we put our faith in Jesus. When we trust that Jesus has done everything necessary for me to be forgiven my sins, to live in relationship with God, and ultimately to inherit eternal life. Third step is baptism. And that's what we're here to do this morning. And I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment. But Peter said, didn't he? Repent and be baptized. That's why we do it that way. We believe that repentance and faith comes before baptism. The fourth step in becoming a Christian, a follower of Jesus, is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter said in that reading, didn't he, that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is for you and for all who are far off. And we are part of those who are far off. We are some of the ones that Peter was talking about on that day. We are those 2,000 years later. And the promise is true for us today. And so when we have baptized Neil and Derek, we believe that the Holy Spirit has brought them to this point. But when we've baptized them, just as Jesus, when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, we will pray for Neil and Derek that they will be filled afresh in response to the promise of God with his Holy Spirit, that he would empower them for their lives. And I invite you, I know there are health and safety risks, but there always are with Jesus. Amen? And at that point, I'd like to invite you gently to come around and we're going to pray for. And if you would like to come and pray over them, then you are welcome. But the management take no responsibility for second baptisms or anything like that. The fifth step to becoming a Christian, and it is part of the steps of becoming a Christian, not just about being a Christian, but the fifth step is about involvement in the local church. When we become a Christian, we become part of Jesus, also known as the family of God, the body of Christ, or the church. We evidently belong together. You may see very little about church membership in the New Testament, but what is quite evident is that when someone comes to faith, they were baptized, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they became an active part in the life and work of a local church, using their gifts of ministry. So there are those five steps in what it means to be a Christian. And here today we're going to baptize and pray for the infilling, the fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Baptisms are very special occasions. But why do we do it? And what is it all about? Well, we do it for a number of reasons. First of all, we do it because Jesus said we should do it. After his resurrection from the dead and before his ascension into heaven, Jesus gave a command to his disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded. And so just looking at that one verse, it's very easy for us to understand that Jesus' followers have got three tasks. We've got three tasks. One is that we are to go and tell other people the wonderful news about the Lord Jesus Christ in the hope that they will too come to faith in him. Secondly, when anyone believes in Jesus, when anyone comes to faith in Jesus, we are to baptize them, which is what we're doing this morning. And thirdly, we are then to teach them how to live their lives as a follower of Jesus. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes, especially for Derek, who's getting on a bit now. Not so much for Neil. But when we've lived a bit of life and we become a Christian, we can't go on behaving in the same way. We need to change, Derek. And therefore, we need to learn a new way of being, a new way of living. And it doesn't always come naturally. Yes, the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us, but actually we need re-educating. We need rethinking. We need to be taught. And so those are three activities that followers of Jesus are involved in: telling others about Jesus, baptizing them, and then teaching them how to live their lives in a way that pleases Jesus. So we do it because Jesus said we should. Secondly, we do it because Jesus himself was baptized. Jesus is one of those wonderful people who didn't say, just do what I say. But he said to us, do as I do. He also said that, didn't he, by actually saying to us, take up your cross. And he didn't just expect us to do it, he did it. He says to us today, do as I do. Jesus was baptized. He didn't need to be baptized because he was perfect. He was pure. He was without sin. But because he wanted to relate to us, so he was baptized. And in baptism, we then identify with him. Thirdly, we do it because the early church did it. The early church baptized people. There is much we don't know about the early church, the young church in the days immediately after Jesus' ascension. But one thing we do know, they baptized new believers in Jesus. And in our reading, we see that Peter, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, taught that new believers should be baptized. And throughout the New Testament, we see that everyone who came to faith was baptized. So, what does baptism mean? Baptism is packed with significance. Firstly, baptism is about burial and resurrection. When Jesus died, we are told that a sword was pushed into his side to ensure he was dead. Then, when they were sure he was dead, he was taken down from the cross and was buried in a tomb with a huge stone rolled across the front of it. And furthermore, we're told that some soldiers were posted by that stone in order to ensure that nobody came to steal the body. Jesus was dead. Despite all of this, the New Testament is very clear that the tomb was not, the tomb and death was not strong enough to hold him. I remember Larry Norman, the Christian singer, always saying they should have known they couldn't keep a good man down. And despite all the things that were put in place, 3 days later, after being buried, Jesus was brought back to life by the power of God. And even more than that, He showed himself risen to so many people as a proof that he was alive. In a similar way, the Bible says that when we become a Christian, our old way of life, the way we used to behave, the way we used to think, the way we used to speak, is put to death and is buried. But then it goes on to show that we are then born into a new life in which Jesus is Lord. This is what Neil and Derek are illustrating in baptism today. The water is like a tomb. When we put them under the water, it illustrates that they are saying they have died to their old way of life and they are burying it for good. And when we bring them up out of the water, as surely we will, well, we might. And as we bring them again out of the water, illustrates that they are being born again, beginning a new life with Jesus, raised from the dead. Not the old life raised, but raised to new life with Christ. Secondly, it's about a bath. Peter said in our reading, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins." Baptism is symbolic of being made clean. Now, I want to show you something that I received by email quite recently. And I think, if it's possible, we might watch this twice because it's very quick, but very exciting. Okay, thank you, James. Play. It is exciting, trust me. No. Oh. Do you want to watch it again? Yeah. Right. Guys, we're going to start over here, okay? All right. No, just in case you think that I'm illustrating a new way of baptizing, no, that's not the case. But the Bible says that all have sinned. All of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. We fall short of God's requirements. I can't imagine how he would have felt if he'd have fallen short. Can you? The picture that the Bible paints is a picture of almost a dartboard or an archery board, where an arrow flies and it flies to the what's that called? The bullseye. What the Bible is meaning is when it says all fall short, it means that it doesn't make the target. The arrow does not hit the target. Thank goodness he did. That must have taken ages of preparation, mustn't it? Absolutely wonderful. But you see, we all fall short. We all fall short of God's requirements. There's not one of us that doesn't. And sin, what that term we use as sin to describe that act of falling short, sin breaks our relationship with God. Sin makes us feel dirty. It makes us feel unclean when we live in a way that is not pleasing to God, when we fall short of God's requirements. And however hard we try, we will never hit the target. However hard we try, we can never be good enough. However hard we try, we can never make ourselves clean again. But because he died, and because he rose again, Jesus is the only one who can deal with sin, and who can help us be acceptable to God, who can help us reach the target. In 1 John chapter 1, John writes, if we confess our sins, if we say, Lord, we have sinned, we're sorry for what we have done, then John says, God is faithful and he will forgive us our sins and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, a bath or a shower can only make us clean on the outside. But Jesus, because he died for us, can make us clean on the inside by forgiving us our sins, and can make us clean on the outside by changing our lives and our behavior. Baptism reminds us that Jesus makes us clean, and Jesus alone. Thirdly, baptism is a way of life. You'll be pleased to know, as I just mentioned, that we will not hold Neil or Derek underwater for too long. We do want them to live. But understand this. Baptism in the New Testament, although it is clearly a one-off event following belief in Jesus, is a way of life. It is not that we are baptized and then we return to life as normal. We are baptized and we go on living the baptized life. And I think that's really important. Our whole life is immersed in Christ. We are immersed in the Holy Spirit. Many of us try so hard to live good Christian lives, but I think we've lost the point. We've forgotten the point. The Christian life is hiding our life in Christ and allowing him to live his life in us. The Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Outside of Christ, I have no life. And elsewhere he said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. There may be some of us that still need parts of our lives to be baptized into Christ, even though we may have been baptized in water. Because baptism is a way of life. We live the baptized life, immersed in Christ. And linked to that is my fourth point. Baptism is a sign, guys, this morning. Baptism is a sign of your covenant, your promise to follow Jesus. In a wedding service, a bride and a bridegroom bind themselves to each other in marriage covenant, saying, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, to love, cherish, and in the good old days, they used to say, obey. Young man, obey. To love, cherish, and obey. And as a result of making those vows, they exchange wedding rings as a perpetual sign of the covenant that they have made to each other. The Church of England marriage website says, a wedding is one day, a marriage is a lifetime. And it goes on to say, you've probably already spent many hours planning your wedding. There are so many things to think about, the dress, the cake, whom to invite, the honeymoon. That's all the women's work, isn't it, really? All of these are important. But the wedding is just one day, while marriage should last for the rest of our lives. And baptism, folk, brothers, and those of us who have been baptized, is one day. We're not going to do this again for you. It's one day. And it's important. But it's about the rest of your lives. It's about making a covenant with God. The wedding is a public ceremony of a marriage covenant. And I like to think of baptism as the public ceremony, the sign of the new covenant that the candidate has entered into with God. In baptism, the candidate declares, "Jesus, you gave your life for me. I give my life to you." And I believe in their baptism today. Neil and Derek are making a lifelong promise of allegiance and obedience to Jesus, whatever the weather. And I remind you, Neil, I remind you both of a song that Neil wanted sung today. We haven't got time to sing it, but the words say this: "Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name." Publicly today, you are making a covenant, a statement of your covenant with Jesus, that you will follow him and live for him, not just today, but all the days of your life. And those that have been baptized before, we're reminded of that covenant promise that we have made with the Lord, not just to follow him on the good days, but every day of our lives. In a similar vein to a wedding service, I'm going to ask you guys in a minute, do you believe and trust in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? To which I hope you say yes. I'm going to ask you, will you be faithful to him as your Lord and Saviour? And I hope you will be able to say, yes, I will. Jesus is my Lord. Folks, whatever baptism is, it is not a celebration of what Neil and Derek have done for God. Baptism is a celebration of what God has done for each one of us. It is a declaration of dependence upon and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I simply want to put up again those five steps of faith and ask, where are you on those steps of faith? Are you at the point of repentance where you're recognizing, yes, I've been living my life my own way for too long. I've got to turn my life now back to God. Have you put your faith in Jesus and trusting him for life today and eternal life in the future? Have you yet followed faith with baptism? Have you been baptized? Have you publicly declared your allegiance to the Lord Jesus? Remember Jesus' command. The Holy Spirit, are you trying to live each day in your own strength? Or do you seek daily the infilling of the Holy Spirit? And are you an active part of a local church, wherever that may be? Are you playing your part in the life and ministry of a local church? I leave those thoughts with you. Let's pray. Lord, today we are glad to see two men publicly declaring their allegiance to you and their devotion to you. But Lord, as we witness their baptism, Lord, would you speak to us about where we stand with you? And are we living our lives in trustful, faithful obedience to you and to what you are asking of those who follow you? Lord, today, as we witness their baptism, would you speak to us about our walk with you? For we ask this in the lovely name of Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.
Well, as Andrew said, I'm getting on a bit. Anyway, 30 years ago, or so, 40 years ago probably, I used to get taken to church by my mum, and just really didn't get the grips of it at all, so it was 10 years of wasted time, really. And just didn't get, I was really anti-church, just beyond my comprehension. So sort of that period of time, 30 or 40 years, not knowing God or anything about church. And anyway, but then 5 years ago, my marriage went wrong. And my mum said, have you thought about praying? I thought, oh, I don't want to pray. I was praying. Anyway, I lived the wild life a little bit and sort of done what I shouldn't have done. And I kept on praying and praying to bring this particular person into my life. And anyway, because of the wild life I was leading, I come and driving home from work through Tropicaria, and the God said to me to stop what I was doing. And I still didn't get it. So I phoned my mum. I said, I've had these strange voices. And she said, oh, I think that's the Lord speaking to you. So I stopped what I was doing, and lo and behold, I met Wendy. And she told me she was a Christian, and you know, you don't do these sort of things that you've been doing. But that was really quite a relief, really. I thought, this is really fresh and nice. So anyway, she said, do you fancy coming to church? I said, well, okay. So I came here and met the guys here. It was sort of, you know, this is really warm and loving and welcome. And then I took the Alpha course with Geraldine. That was really good and grew more in faith and knew what to do and or not to do as well. And then the final teaching and preaching, we had it at Sally's. As I said a couple of weeks ago, I had the Holy Spirit come on me and gave me the gifts of speaking in tongues, which is even more confirmation. And then Wendy and I got married last June, or a year ago June. So prayers are answered. So really, that's me here. So I just thank the Lord for what he's done for me and put me on the right road. So I'm just going to give myself to the Lord today, really. So thank you.
Exciting stuff, huh? Last night I was like kind of thinking through about my testimony, about what, you know, what do you say? Think about what you know in your life, what, you know, is significant. And I've been brought up in a, you know, Christian family. My parents did good job raising me, the rebel that I am. And I kind of went to church hating it almost, you know, as a kid. I didn't really understand what it was all about, really. You know, that my faith is not about believing in God and believing in Jesus and hearing all the stories in the Bible. It's all about knowing him and living in with him, you know. And so I just kept going to church because I was forced to. And but I kept going. I went to Target, Jeff and Sue. I think they did quite a lot for me. And did Bible study. But it wasn't until going to a place called Soul Survivor, which is a place where a lot of young Christians, about 15,000, all gather under like one big tent and worship. And during that worship, someone prayed for me, and I felt God come in to my life. I actually understood what it was all about, and he released my pain. I broke down in tears, you know, being a guy, you're not meant to do that. But and so I actually understood what, you know, living in faith is all about. And like in recent years, I've kind of been blessed with like Upcott. They've come, you know, from Seton. Yeah, I saw that. And just how they've come to the church and, you know, help with the youth and just kind of there, it's up there is my kind of spiritual growth, if you know what I mean. Like, it's hard to say, but I've kind of been involved with them and with youth work, and that's quite a blessing that I could do that, because it's also, it's a testament about my faith as well, being able to, you know, almost preach to the kids, you know, working with them. And I'm just grateful the people, you know, the Christians around me in the church, you know, I think the church is definitely one of the strong thing about how, you know, to live your life. You know, it's very accepting, this place, you know. And I've lived my life in a place like this, and it's really good. And I went to Upcourt Rays last year, which is held at the on New Year's, and I was in worship, and I kind of asked God, what's happening? You know, what are you going to do for me, you know, this year? And I felt God say, you're going to be baptized. And I kind of dismissed that, you know. I was kind of scared. I was like, no. But kind of like reading the Bible, it was kind of clear. The bits I was reading was about baptism, about submitting to God, you know. And but half a year went, and then I was helping it up, but again, summer. And all around me, it was all of baptism again. I was like, oh, you know, I've forgotten about what God told me at the start of the year. And so I said to myself, you know, I'm going to get baptized towards the end of the summer, straight away. Well, it's kind of end of November, so that's almost straight away, isn't it? So, and it's about obedience as well, because God told me to get baptized. It's almost like Jonah, isn't it, running away. But I've kind of said, yes, I'm going to do it, because God told me to do it. There I am. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. So, let me get this right, Neil. You said, Lord, what are you going to do for me this year? And he said, you're going to get baptized. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Just had some words for you, Derek. As everybody said, you are getting on a bit, but we won't dwell on that. But we do know that you've got a lovely heart. You are a man who loves God. And when I was thinking about you, just these words came to me for you perhaps today. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. May that be true for you today.
So, Derek, do you believe and trust in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Yes, I do.
And will you be faithful to him as your Lord and Saviour?
Yes, I will. Jesus is my Lord.
Therefore, Derek, it gives us great pleasure and great rejoicing in hearing your confession of faith to baptise you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
And Neil, similarly for you, I had some words for you which were interesting words. I'd like to explore them with you in the weeks to come. From 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I think it may have something to do with the future that the Lord has planned for you. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and has called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace, God has a purpose for your life, and he's brought you to this point, and we thank God for you.
Neil, do you believe and trust in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Yes, I do.
And will you be faithful to him as your Lord and as your Saviour?
Yes, I will. Jesus is my Lord.
Therefore, Neil, in hearing your confession of faith in our Lord Jesus, it gives us enormous pleasure and gratitude to God to baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
If you'd like to comment on the sermon today, please leave a comment over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And we'd also love to see you at some of our Christmas services, and you can find out about that on minehead-baptist.com/Christmas. Now, for other Christmassy things, I run a Christmas website at www.ychristmas.com, and I also do a Christmas podcast, and you can listen to that by going to lifespringychristmas.com. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed, and I'll speak to you soon.